Anyway.
All right. So, were we recording?
Oh, we've been recording the whole time. Fabulous. What is it? Dax says, ABR, always be recording.
Always be recording.
You're listening to Pop the Kettle On with Nicole Essio and Dr. Rachel Bushing.
Hey, Rach.
Hi, Nick.
How are you doing, my love?
I'm good.
That's good. You have tea.
I do have tea.
That's good. I don't have tea because I had my tea before you came here because I was desperate for tea.
I know.
Even though it's hot.
Yeah. We're talking about relaxation today.
We are.
Taking about time out.
Slowing down.
Slowing down.
And ways in which some people help us with that.
Yeah.
Including the amazing Bob Ross. I don't know if people know about Bob Ross necessarily.
No, well, I didn't until a couple of years ago when he was on Netflix.
Yeah.
It's not on Netflix anymore. No. I tried to look last night. No. Yeah.
You can find things on YouTube.
I came home and hubby was like watching Bob Ross and I was like, what is this? I feel so slow. I chose this topic based on holidays and the intention to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
But you're back at work and I'm not.
Yes.
And I feel like I'm almost in slow motion. So
that's nice.
Kick me if I sort of vague out for a couple of seconds or more.
I will not kick you, but I may find something to throw at you if I find it necessary. I'm looking around the room.
Just say, tea.
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 Yeah, it's funny because I think 2020 has really given a lot of us time to think about whether we've been going too fast anyway.
For sure.
I think it's given people opportunities to think about how much of the speed is what we want and how much of the speed is just us getting wrapped up in stuff that we think we have to do.
Yeah.
A lot of have-tos in the pace.
Yeah.
So how has that been for you? Have you felt like you've slowed down through last year or?
No. I was very envious of those people who were like felt more slow during lockdown.
Yeah.
Because I felt like a crazed bunny.
Well, you do work in an industry that was exploding in demand.
Correct.
You know, for psychology services.
Yeah. And I was like literally just cursing the heavens like, why did I have three children? Because two one-school accounts would be so much better than three to navigate. One-schools being the online system.
Mm-hmm. For Education Queensland, which is where all of our kids go to school.
Thanks for finishing my sentence.
You're welcome.
And the ridiculous, what was it, Google, whatever it was, OneNote? Oh, is that what it is?
I don't know.
What am I talking about? Am I confusing OneNote with one school? I might be. Anyway, I don't know.
But
I literally have that like amnesia about lockdown.
Okay.
Where, you know how people say like really during a really stressful time, like
yes.
I kind of like.
Yeah.
I had that feeling of like meeting the end of 2020 and just being like, what happened now?
Yeah.
When? And I know I'm not alone. Like,
well, that's interesting psychologically though. I mean, that's a technique, isn't it? That your brain does this thing where it kind of blocks out things that it finds semi-traumatic or traumatic. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
Am I making this up?
No. I think when it comes to like the acute fight, flight, freeze thing.
Yeah.
It's more about the fact that all your cognitive resources have to go towards sort of like life preservation. Right. And that part of the freeze in that sort of fight or flight or freeze is kind of a little bit of dissociation or amnesia. Right.
Right.
But I think there's a different thing when it comes to chronic stress, where it's just more that there's so much more activation in the parts of the brain that is all about sort of like tasks and jobs. And so it's more like that low grade stress.
Right.
So it's slightly different processes that's involved, but it means that it's a similar kind of process. Your brain doesn't have. Oh, let's talk about the default mode network.
Go on.
It will be topical when we talk about Bob Ross.
Okay. I like it. Let's link it all together.
You need to be sort of in a state of rest and relaxation in order to actually consolidate what has happened into memory.
Right.
And a lot of that happens when you sleep as well.
Mm-hmm.
But what we know is that, like, through something like meditation, where you give your mind sort of like that sense of the nothingness,
mm-hmm.
or like being in creative flow or whatever, where it's just kind of like you're staring out the window looking at the clouds.
Yep.
When they hook those people up to sort of like the functional MRIs that show the color and where it mm-hmm. kind of lights up, there's this idea of the default mode network, which basically just means like surging blood flow across most kind of regions of the brain.
Yeah.
And the idea being that that's really important, just like when we dream, with sort of like clearing out the cogs and cobwebs. I think both apply. Greasing the cogs, clearing the cobwebs.
Excellent. I love me a mixed metaphor.
I don't know. I think they do know the mechanisms. I just don't sort of know all the technical kind of jargon. But it's important in actually kind of like laying down autobiographical long-term memory.
Wow. Okay.
I think. So when you don't ever have enough rest and pause to be in that state,
yeah.
then your brain's just constantly like go, 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 go. Yeah. And it's firing around all of that like information, application of it.
Yeah.
And doesn't ever have that time to just sit and rest and like, process consolidate and it.
Consolidate.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I think.
So
I'm not great on all the neuro stuff.
No, but this is very fascinating. Mm. And we can, you know, we're very intelligent people. We can research more things about.
Look it up.
This, that's right. Look it up. We trust our listeners to be interested in things enough to look them up yeah. later on.
I do find it hard talking about just anatomy of the brain's mm. regions and structures.
Yeah.
I think perhaps my brain doesn't kind of – I tend to think of the brain more metaphorically, yeah. like sort of it's this system of cogs.
Yeah.
rather than kind of like this amygdala lobe over here.
The, yeah, frontal lobe.
Exactly. And, yeah. I struggle a little bit. And also like the – just the Latin, you know, the words, like yeah. the kind of anatomy sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was last night, because I was looking at like Bob Ross and, you know, why is so soothing and so relaxing. And I was looking at like the relaxation response, which is something I teach all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like acetylcholine. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of ringing a bell. It's an important hormone in the relaxation response. Hormone? I think so. I'm like, yeah.
That makes sense.
I'm kind of more like your brain triggers a relaxation response that goes across the whole nervous system.
Your magical brain.
The parasympathetic branch.
Mm.
Because actually, I think what client standing in front of you was kind of, what's the hormone? What's the neurotransmitter?
Exactly.
What's the branch?
Yeah, talk to me about the parasympathetic nervous system.
Parasympathetic.
Response.
Yeah.
And
even worse, it's like the sympathetic nervous system is involved with revving up your nervous system when it's having to be like active and present and do things. And then the parasympathetic, it's like, why these words?
Yeah.
Doesn't I know. Doesn't mean anything.
Doesn't mean anything to anyone. Right. So we'll just go with the up than the downs.
The up and the down. Correct. The revving of the engine.
And I don't know if anyone can hear in the background, and I may check when we play this back, but there are children playing and there is a dog running around getting excited about the children playing.
Yep.
So the joyful noise of kidlets on holidays. So hopefully you'll be able to hear a little bit of that in the background, guys, but it's not too distracting.
Mm.
And, you know, how lucky are we that we're allowed to have our kids playing together?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on in the world. When we're recording this, this is the day that people have been storming the Capitol building in the US.
Mm.
You know, UK's gone back into second, a really strict lockdown, and there's a whole lot of stuff going on around the world. So, feeling very grateful that we have the ability to do what we do right now.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So, yes.
We had a bit of border implications on Boxing Day coming back from New South Wales.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, you know, in the scheme of things is not a massive crisis.
No, but it's stressful enough, isn't it?
It is stressful.
And so in times like these, we need soothing.
We need soothing. So let's talk about
Bob Ross.
Shall we?
The first thing to say about Bob Ross is that he rocks a serious perm.
Mm-hmm.
It is not his natural curl, I discovered on research.
Yes, we both researched.
It makes me so happy. And not only that, but he was done with it.
Yep.
And he was like, I don't want this curl anymore. Mm-hmm. But of course, he'd made it a brand. So he he had to rock this permed, curled kind of hair. It was just amazing.
It's like a white man afro.
It is like a white man afro. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Like perfectly kind of dome-like.
Dome-like hair. But that's his brand, so he had to stick with it. So Bob Ross, if those of our listeners who don't know about him, is a painter. But not just that. He was formerly, you know, like in the armed forces and spent, you know, 2 decades in the armed forces and, you know, obviously dealing with a lot of stress and that kind of thing and doing a lot of yelling and, you know, drill sergeant-y kind of stuff. He ended up as a master sergeant and decided that that was enough for his lifetime and he would go forth and never, do things that were soothing and never yell again.
Never yell again.
Yeah.
I know.
And it's amazing because if you watch, so on YouTube, if you look up The Joy of Painting with Bob Ross, you will be able to see episode upon episode upon episode of Bob Ross painting pictures.
Yes, because he did it from 1983 to 1994.
Yeah.
On PBS.
Yeah.
Public broadcast
service. the same people who bring us Antiques Roadshow in the US and Big Bird. Sesame Street was born in PBS, so
And apparently I was reading that it was on sort of like late afternoon, sort of like, so there's a whole bunch of kids for whom there's this nostalgia around coming home from school and, you know, grabbing a snack and Bob Ross is painting a lovely little picture on the TV.
Yeah, and it's amazing because there's comparisons between him and Mr. Rogers, because obviously Mr. Rogers' neighbourhood was very soothing and calming and there was a whole lot of kids who were brought up on that as well. Yeah. So,
yes.
Amazing, right?
It's on my list to do Mr. Rogers.
Yeah?
Yeah. I've had it on the list for ages.
Oh, we shall do that.
We will do it.
Yeah,
we'll definitely. We'll do the...
That's something to look forward to, everyone.
Yeah. our ever-growing list. Bob Ross has been on the list for a little while as well. So he has this very iconic way of speaking.
Yeah.
He's so endearing. So I was researching a little bit and I'm kind of like, he has more of a sort of cult following internet kind of thing, which again, for us in Australia, has kind of like reached us, you know, 20 years after his program was actually on.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, my actual reaction when I came home and my husband was watching Bob Ross, I was like, what's going on? And he's like, I know it looks weird, but just watch it. It's like strangely intriguing.
Yeah.
And he sort of like just sort of hooks you in.
He sucks you right into his little happy trees.
Little happy trees.
Yeah. And happy accidents. That's the joy of, I think, and I mean, it's called Joy of Painting.
Yeah.
But the beauty of what Bob Ross did was actually really pare back. So he does a particular technique called wet on wet painting, so it's nothing dries, like you just go on top of everything else, and so he does it in half an hour, this painting, which then encourages other people that they can do that in half an hour in their own homes, but you know, of course, he's been training for a lot longer than any of us, and really uses a really simplified palette of colors that you could just go out and get, and then the same colors so that you can do it the next time and the next time and the next time, which I think is clever and delightful and really does bring people in.
Yeah. Even the name of the paints is like somehow really strangely soothing as well.
Different colours.
I can't remember what they are, but it's kind of like bluebell, meadows and like
Arctic something something white or whatever. Yes. They've got all these fabulous names. But yeah, so he wants to teach people to paint and that anyone can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that if, you know, if you make a mistake, then you turn it into something else, you know, like it's not a mistake. It's now a bird or, you know, which I think is a really lovely creative lesson, but also a really lovely life lesson. You know, like things, one thing can lead to another and it doesn't always have to be disastrous.
Yes.
It can create something new.
Yeah, exactly. And he's also like a real animal lover. So as I was like, watch this and I'm like, it's strangely kind of like magnetizing and I'm into it. And then he has this animals feature very strongly in his episodes as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I just actually found myself next episode laughing just I just found him really hilarious because he'd like cuts out of the painting studio and he's in some kind of like park with sort of like birds or something. He's like, come and visit my friends, the birds. I was kind of like, this is, it's, I, actually, no, it's almost like acid trip kind of stuff. It's like so soothing that I'm kind of like, who is this guy? And he's like, look at this lovely little friend. And he's just perched over here and he's just looking at the breeze. And he's just kind of like, he's so sort of has that real in childlike
wonder.
Yeah.
I think there's something really beautiful about that. Not childish, but childlike.
Yeah.
And I think those who can maintain delight and wonder.
Yes.
And a childlike optimism and joy and, you know, there's something really compelling about that.
Yes.
And then, you know, occasionally he has a squirrel in his shirt. Yeah. So that is also compelling.
I found a list of Bob Ross quotes.
Oh, please hit us with some Bob Ross wisdom.
There's nothing wrong with having a tree as a friend.
True that. Mm-hmm. Preach, Brother Bob.
Yeah. Probably his most famous one. We don't make mistakes. We just have happy little accidents.
Yes, indeed.
He was very encouraging of the person painting at home, obviously. Yeah. You know, kind of like so there's a lot of things where he's kind of like, you know, I think there's an artist inside of all of us. And, you know, let's just kind of like, just, it's okay. Just keep going and you'll get better and you'll be able to do it. Mm.
So cute. But it's also, it's done so slowly and deliberately.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's a movement of people who love the sound of Bob Ross.
Yes.
Because there's like scraping that, what is it? ASMR. I get it wrong.
ASMR.
ASMR. Mm-hmm. So if anyone hasn't heard about this whole ASMR thing, it's people who love that sound and get like a tingly sensation all along their body from sounds or different things, like a euphoric kind of feeling from different sounds. And so people... So it's autonomous sensory meridian response. Mm-hmm. And it's in response to things like, you know, him scraping the paint on the palette with his, like he uses a knife at some stages. Yep. And, you know, like the different sounds of the brush strokes on the canvas and just the way in which he uses his voice that is so soothing.
Yes, yeah.
And it actually triggers a response in some people.
Yeah.
And there's all these videos on YouTube and stuff like that around like crunching leaves and that kind of stuff that is supposed to be eliciting the same response. But yes. Isn't it fascinating?
Do you don't get the ASMR?
I'm guessing not get the tingles. Mm. No.
No, nor
I do definitely I. get the opposite when like fingers down a blackboard. Yeah. Like I don't know if that.
Yeah.
That is a non-tingly kind of an unpleasant sensation.
Yes.
Yeah.
So misophonia.
Yes. Yes.
I was doing my research last night because I was like, Bob Ross. I was like wanting to know his life story.
Yeah.
So you talked a little bit about sort of like his early adult life, but he also has departed us.
Yeah. I think he died young.
1995 or something, I think.
52 years old.
Yeah. Ugh. From the dreaded big C word.
The big C.
Yeah. The big C got him. So he's long gone.
Yeah. Because we're talking, you know, that's almost 30 years. Oh my gosh, the 90s were 30 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, when you type into the Google and you're kind of like, Bob Ross, and like the number one is kind of Bob Ross ASMR. And I was like, oh, okay, here we go.
Let's go down this little rabbit hole.
Exactly. For me, the sort of like the magnetic kind of mesmerizing sort of like the soothing tone of his voice definitely kind of pulls me in.
Mm.
And the way he sort of like, because it's a type of painting as well, he does a lot of, I think it's always landscapes basically.
Mm. Yeah.
So there's a lot of like clouds and these kind of like fir trees and like lakes and ponds and little houses. And it's kind of really magical, actually, the way that he sort of just adds these little three-dimensional elements, like just like one little stroke and suddenly it kind of like bounces off the canvas.
Yep.
And I'm like...
Artistry.
To me, I'm just kind of like, whoa.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
Yeah, it is trippy.
Yeah, it really is.
And who doesn't need a bit of that right now?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Yeah.
I don't get the ASMR either. I don't have so much of the misophonia, I don't think.
Yeah.
So that's described as like extreme irritation or anger at sounds.
Well, it depends. Is the sound coming from some of my children?
I certainly have that.
I have it rarely.
The other reason I know misophonia is because Dax and Monica talk about it a lot.
on the Armchair Expert.
They do, because the sense of like, because listeners kind of email into them and they're kind of like, can you stop sipping? Because this sound.
Oh, I hope you got that.
Is driving me crazy.
Yeah, right.
And they're like, sorry for all the misophonia people out there. Like we do a bit of tea slurping and other sorts of things.
Yeah, so we should probably apologise in advance for that.
Uh-huh.
Or in retrospect, because we've done it obviously many times. Sorry, everybody.
But some people enjoy it because for some people the ASMR sounds is like whispering.
Mm.
Or it is like a tapping or like repetitive popping.
Really?
Apparently a crunching.
Yeah. The crunching I get, like particularly the like leaf crunching and, you know, I've noticed videos that have come up and like it's a particular kind of like a scraping sound. So things that are kind of sliced and they have to be, they're all kind of pre-cut into little, you know, like you dice an onion.
Okay.
And you cut one way and then you cut the other way and then you do the, like the little pieces.
Yes.
Well, so things have been cut in those kind of ways for them to then scrape and make these noises. Yeah. Fascinating.
I see.
I would love to hear any of our listeners who have like ASMR responses to things, let us know on the Facebook page when we put this episode up. We would love to hear from you because it just fascinates me.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Do you remember those like orgasmatron things that they used to have, those wires that go over your head?
Like a massagey thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they used to be called something orgasmo.
You like just that. Called it something. So.
I remember being a teenager, so it's like a kind of like, these sort of like round circle wires.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to kind of like go, over your head and then sort of scrape down all over your scalp. I remember a friend of mine had it in high school and a bunch of my friends were like, ooh, like that would trigger the ASMR response.
Ah.
Having the kind of like scraping across their scalp would give them the tingles.
But they would listen to somebody else getting it scraping across?
No. Because, researching it on Wikipedia last night.
Source.
It was saying for some people it's tactile. Ah. So for some people it's more like having your head massaged by the hairdresser.
Or like general hair play stuff.
Yeah, or just, like, exactly, just brushing. Because they were sort of saying they don't really know why there's this like intense kind of pleasurable experience based on particular sounds or sensory input.
Yeah.
But they think it might be to do with like sort of apes, sort of like this mammal kind of bonding sort of thing.
Right.
In the same way people like watching pimple popping. I don't think that triggers ASMR, but there's a certain kind of satisfaction that some people get from kind of, you know, so it's like the chimpanzees going through and picking the ticks out
in the lice.
That there's like something about our kind of evolution that sort of feels really satisfying and is like related to bonding in some way.
I love this so much.
Yeah. I think they don't, clearly it's just the theory, the best theory. I think they don't exactly know. Because it's only been like since the sort of internet and people being like, I really like the sound of this.
Well, that's the thing, right? There are so many experiences that you have that you don't know whether it's something only you do. So I remember reading not too long ago, actually, about women who are not pregnant and who cannot get pregnant, but who feel like the little flutter of when you first feel bub move.
Yeah.
Now, I get that.
Yeah.
It happens to me on occasion where I feel like those first fluttery kind of 16, 17-week movements of a bub in utero.
Yeah.
And I thought I was a little bit bananas. And then I read about it and it's a thing, right?
Yeah,
and there's no way that I would say that out loud because it seems bananas. But then when you read it and you go, other people around the world have had this experience as well.
Yeah.
Okay, not so bananas.
Yeah.
Still a small proportion of people, but not so bananas. But you wouldn't raise that in like your little village before the internet for fear of
anyone with me.
Exactly. So yeah, it's true. That has opened up this whole kind of wide world of experiences that people have had and made them feel like they're not the only person on this blue dot that have experienced it.
Correct.
Yeah, amazing.
It is amazing.
So yeah, tell us all about it if it's something that happens to you.
What
'cause
else?
I'm fascinated.
Yeah, would be great.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other thing as I was researching, and this is something I have experienced, is when you're listening to music and it gives you like that sort of shivers.
Yeah.
So like goosebumps and shivers, like a kind of rush of sort of like, and that's called frisson.
Ooh, that sounds pretty good.
So they're kind of thinking that all of these phenomena
are somehow
linked connected. In some way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
I know.
We are so in the dark about what we are capable of, aren't
yeah.
we?
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. That's yep. for sure. Because even just this kind of like, yeah, all that stuff I was going on with at the start about relaxation response and all of that and what's happening in the brain, like, you know, it's new things are being learned every day, I think.
Yeah.
And I think there's a whole bunch of stuff that we still don't know.
Yeah.
And
yep.
meditation wasn't like researched until, I don't know, 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah, it was and all very like, woo-woo, wasn't
oh,
it?
Oh, this is a thing.
Mm. Now, speaking of this, meditation, we also, in the context of Bob Ross and his beautiful slowing, calming kind of thing, wanted to talk about that idea of slowing down and how we can, if we want to, help facilitate that.
Yeah.
And I have started a meditation challenge.
Oh.
Because I noticed at the during 2020 and particularly sort of the last quarter of it.
Yeah.
Because I wear a Fitbit.
Yes.
And I was getting, like, my heart rate was really high.
It tells you.
It dobs on you.
Ding, ding, ding,
ding, ding.
It dobs
on you.
And then that increases your heart rate even more when you go, damn it.
Try to be calm. But yeah, like this serious stress response that I was having.
Right.
And so.
So can I backtrack that a little bit?
Yeah.
Can you program it to alert you if it goes over a certain number?
Or... Oh, no, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know, actually.
So how do you know if it's high?
No, well, it. You get a daily kind of average heart rate for the day.
Oh, so at the end of the day, it will be like, you were really stressed today.
Well, it won't tell you that. It'll just give you a number. And okay. I notice my number going up and up and up.
Yeah.
And also that my jaw was getting really sore. Like I was getting headaches sort of at the back of my ears and all that sort of stuff because I was tensing. And that I've... Not that I want to make a New Year's resolution because, you know, that's somehow trying to make me feel like I'm deficient in some way, which is I'm not.
Yes.
I want to just be a little bit better than I was last year.
Yeah.
So that idea of just trying to slow myself down.
Yes.
Slow my brain down.
Wow.
And so,
speaking of slow and me being slightly brain dead, I made a note that I wanted to talk about intentions for the year and to share with you my word for the year.
Oh, you've chosen a word.
Yes.
Lovely.
So, and maybe give you, maybe it is slow or whatever.
Yeah.
For that to be your kind of intention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Let's
I'll
do
have
that
to
at
work
the end.
That out.
So where's the meditation challenge coming?
So there's a podcast called 10% Happier.
Oh, yeah.
And
Gretchen Rubin.
No, she's the happier. Oh. I don't know. Anyway, she's got another one. But 10% Happier is a guy called Dan something. And he is a journalist and basically had a panic attack on air. And so he's gotten into this whole kind of meditation thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so he has an app and there are it's a paid subscription thing, but there is a free 21-day challenge for the start of the year. And I'm like, sweet,
cool.
I can give that a crack. Because Fitbit has some meditation on it.
Yep.
And I've been doing dipping my toes a little bit.
Yep.
But I just think breathing is so vital and like intentional, thoughtful, peaceful breathing, not just kind of grabbing at air like there are so many people in this world who at the moment and previously have had to grab at air and they are stuck in places where, you know, they've got ventilators shoved down their throats or whatever, or they're sick and, you know, this virus has just absolutely ravaged the whole world.
Yeah.
And they are, you know, it's that whole I can't breathe.
Yeah.
I can't breathe thing that is also converging, you know, the Black Lives Matter stuff.
Yeah.
And breath, I think, I'm just feeling like I need to be intentional and slow with breath.
Yeah.
And so that's what my meditation kind of practice.
Awesome. So how you have to do it every day?
There's no have to's, right? There are no have to's.
The intention is?
Yeah, the intention is to do it every day for 21 days. And so far I have done every
good for
day.
You.
But
so his name is Dan Harris.
Dan Harris. I wanted to say Harris, but I thought Sam Harris. I was wrong that it was the same thing.
I will next Google Gretchen. I think I have heard him interviewed or something as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He probably was interviewed on her podcast and she on his.
Probably. And also, so I've done a similar challenge. I can't forget what it is. Mindful in May something. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'll tell you about it. And it is this kind of like 30-day thing all of May that they will send you like a little meditation thing every day.
Nice.
I did that like a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And not very well.
Yeah. But it seems indulgent actually and a little bit frou-frou for me.
Yeah.
And I'm pushing through those feelings because I know that my heart rate is way down on what it was at the end of last year and I want to maintain that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it feels nice.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm telling people to meditate all the time, all the time, all the time. And I usually say to them, you just start with like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think that there's a big kind of perception that I've got to find half an hour of meditation practice is just not sustainable.
No. And then you feel guilty because you haven't found your half an hour. No one needs that. You don't need to put that on your plate.
Yeah. And also just another thing we teach is that idea of portability, that it's just there's, you know, at any point in time, really, you can focus on what your breath is doing.
Mm.
If you're in a meeting, if you're on the bus, if you're, you know, watching TV, like whatever.
Just like you can be doing your Kegels.
Yeah,
exactly. No one needs to know.
Do the Kegels. This is like brain Kegels. I'll steal that one, Nick. And the men will just be looking at me like, say what now?
They can do it too.
Yeah.
Small two was taught how to do like pelvic floor exercises in prep around, you know, bladder control.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, yeah, absolutely. Go for it.
It helps us all. Or just that sense of like, I'm on the bus, but I could be looking out the window and looking at what I'm looking at, you know, for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Actually just not put anything into my brain, just be bored and just look out the window.
Yeah.
Because like it does make you healthier.
Yeah.
It, like, increases your immunity,
helps
with cell regeneration.
Ooh, like that.
Because it's all that stuff that our body is doing that helps sustain our health and longevity by doing nothing.
Yeah.
So, you know,
it is a fast, fast-paced world.
Yeah.
And we can engage in that speed.
Yeah.
Or we can intentionally choose to engage at our own speed. You know, that's that whole thing when it they talk about in football, you know, like that one team is plays a fast game every time, and the opposition team are sort of matching that speed, but that's not the way that they normally play. Blah blah blah.
Yeah.
You don't have to play the same game as everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You play your game.
Yeah.
And if your game is too fast for you at the moment, I'm trying very hard to use the word no and to switch off from things that don't make me feel nice.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, intentions for the year.
Yeah.
Hit me with yours.
Well, so last year I had Grace and I called it the year of saying no.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like I had a real intention to slow everything down.
Yep.
And just focus on family and what was important.
Yeah.
It was pretty annoying that then COVID was like, hey, do a million other things.
Yeah, exactly.
Just to stay afloat.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've had enough of that.
Yeah.
And so my word is grit.
Grit.
Which is
I have podcast recommendations.
You do? Yeah. I think it's a bit of a buzzword at the moment. Mm. I just like that it kind of sounded like grace.
Yeah.
And then grit.
There's some nice alliteration going on there.
Because I think that while I am still in healing from my grief, there's another grief.
Look at that. Ding, ding.
That wasn't intentional. Grief, grace, grit.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I need to actually kind of, I don't know, I'm trying to phrase this without sounding really bloody like like the football coach who's kind of like, get out there and kind of run the field and you can do it and get in the game.
Yeah.
But I think that's kind of the energy of what I need is like, so another word for it, I suppose, is resilience.
Yeah.
And I don't mean, I mean with compassion and kindness, like yes. I mean like a good coach.
Yeah.
But I think I just, rather than the coach who's like, come take a bench, you need to rest.
Yes.
I think I need to combine that with the coach who's like, go do it.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So I have another recommendation for you too there. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Because when I hear grit, my initial feeling is that whole push mm-hmm. or crash or crash through right. kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I love the way that you have defined grit for you mm-hmm. and the way in which you want to intend manifesting grit throughout 2021.
Yeah.
So there is a woman named Angela Duckworth mm-hmm. who has studied lots of grit, and she does a podcast with a colleague, and it's called No Stupid Questions.
Uh-huh.
So that might be something interesting for you to listen to. And when it comes to that coach, that loving coach kind of who has belief in you and sees the whole you and mm-hmm. knows how to motivate you, that kind
mm-hmm.
of thing.
Mm-hmm.
There is a TV series called Ted Lasso, which is on Apple TV Plus.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my goodness, it's beautiful. And I was stunned and shocked at how much I loved it.
Yeah.
And he is an NFL football coach who was plucked from, winning a college championship and to run this fictional Premier League British soccer team, football team.
Yeah.
And it just the way in which he does exactly what you're saying.
Mm.
It does that grit with love.
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic.
Such an important space, right?
Yeah.
Such a gift to be, and I think that's, the evidence shows that's the best kind of like parenting for that internal voice of like, what do you need right now? Do you need to rest and replenish and allow yourself that time, trusting that like you'll actually come back like more efficient on the other side of that? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just, COVID, man, 2020. Because I really hope there is that cultural shift away from sort of like, we're not more productive when we do more. We're just not. There's more so not much more. Research evidence that says when you take time out, when you just work your allocated hours, when you have holidays, when you have breaks, when you're sitting and doing nothing, when you're like understimulated, your brain's able to be creative and you can like come up with better ideas.
Yeah.
And you're more productive.
Yep. Well, I noticed that on the 2 weeks that I had off from work and I read books.
You did?
And it was just beautiful. And I was having these vivid kind of dreams at night. And I was also having just like weird kind of thoughts. And I went, oh, that could be really interesting. And let's see what I can put together with that.
Yeah.
For, like work thoughts.
Yeah.
That you just don't have time for when you're in that go.
Yeah, that's correct. It probably means though having to step away from say social media or like the news cycle or because it's really addictive, all of that stuff.
Yeah, doom scrolling is very addictive.
Yeah.
So slowing down. Okay, so I need to come up with a word. I don't know if slow is my word.
No.
Because I don't know that I would ever describe myself in that way. Uh-huh. I mean, golly. I certainly talk very fast. I remember seeing someone that I admired very much had on her wall, think fast, talk slow. And my problem is think fast, talk faster. I'll have to think about it. I might have to come back to you with that one.
Yeah.
I don't know if slow is fitting me yet.
Yeah. Mm. I do like the word concept. I do really, really like it. But I think beyond the resolutions, I think it just gives you something to kind of be like, I think it really does help. I really had to say to myself often, it's your year of saying no.
Mm.
Maybe that's like a catchphrase to back up the kind of like, let go, allow, and just sort of have presence.
Yeah.
So I was like, I really want to do this thing. It's my year of saying no. Damn it.
No, but there's a difference, right? can say yes to the things you want to say yes to.
Yeah, I know.
But if it feels obligatory.
Yeah. It was more just kind of like, it is okay to be like, I would love to catch up with you, but probably maybe not this year.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. It was little things like, I'm not going to make any of those PNC meetings, so yeah. I'm just going to say no to actually being on the mailing list.
Yeah.
But work-wise was even more important.
Yeah,
because
for sure.
It's kind of like, oh, maybe I won't go to any workshops. Like, I'd already, before COVID, decided I wasn't going to travel interstate all year.
Wow.
I was just like, no. Which is really tempting. It's like, oh, that looks interesting. That looks good. And it's like, no.
Every shiny thing. Can't do it all.
Oh, I have really shiny, shiny thing puppy syndrome. Big time. Big time.
Yeah. But, I mean, it'd be really interesting to hear from our listeners about how they felt around forced slowdowns.
Yeah.
And whether that's been something that's kind of affected them in a positive way or a negative way, or a way in which they've thought differently about how they want to live 2021.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let us know on the Facebook page.
Let us know. Kettle on. And share your word.
Share your
should
word.
We workshop yours?
We'll have to workshop.
Or should we do it off?
Yeah, no, I'm going to have to think about it. I'm going to slow down and think about it. Meditate on it. Maybe I should do that. But yeah. So as always, you can find us on Facebook at Pop the Kettle On. It's always tea time. And Rach, Little Shop of Pop.
Great.
Find Rach there.
Yep.
And yeah, we are going to slow down and have pizza night with the family.
Yeah.
And then we will talk to you next time. Yeah.
Yeah.
So in the meantime.
Kiss your babies.
And hug your babies and your dog. Dog who is making barking noises.
Aww.
Yeah. And be kind to yourselves and each other. And we will talk to you next time, guys.
We'll do.
Yeah. Bye. Bye.